tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Tip Today. Keep your calls coming in to us. Alison is producing today. She's by the phones right now on 1800 938 007. We were talking to John G. O'Dwyer about that Murphy collection of photographs that spans the years 1890 to 1930. And one of our listeners on to us to say, my great-grandparents are in that collection, the whole family, including pictures of my grandmother who died young, and we had no photograph of her. He was the coachman and she was the cook for Ballinamona House. That comes in from John in New Inn. That's really interesting, John, and I'm sure it must make that collection very, very special to you indeed. And now another person saying, if one has old negatives, if they're attached to a glass tube lamp, the result is cool when the lamp is on, especially if the lamp rotates, says JB. Okay, thank you for that. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with old negatives hidden away somewhere, probably in the attic. 1800 938 007. All right, then. I was out and about at Fahy's Bar and Restaurant in Cashel over the weekend, and Paddy had another gorgeous recipe for us.
Today, Fran, we're going to do a garlic potato. We go back over that as we've done it over Christmas. I would just go back to refresh people's minds. And we're going to do a roulade of beef, which is a piece of, what I'm using today is a piece of sirloin steak battered out. And we wrap it, we roll it in, we stuff it with stuffing and then roll it, wrap it in tin foil and we bake it in the oven. It takes about 15 minutes then in the oven. But if you wanted to do it for a group of people at home, out of 8 or 10, you could get a fine big piece of, say, a round steak in the butcher's, and you could stuff that and roll that. It'll take that bit longer to cook, but it would be absolutely perfect, and it'd be a beautiful roast joint with the stuffing is all the way through it.
All right, very good. Are we going to start with the potato?
We're going to start with the garlic potato. We get the garlic potato in the oven first, because that takes the longest, and then we'll work then on the beef after that.
Okay.
And we're going to make a nice little pepper sauce to go with it.
Sounds gorgeous.
Okay, so we'll start here straight away with the potatoes. If your potato speed, as I said, you can have them ready the day before, or the evening before, or the morning before, and just cover them in water. And you'll slice them nice and thin like that and into a bowl, and just keep slicing away.
Are you particular about the kind of potatoes, Paddy?
No, a good a rooster is a great potato. Yeah. I love the rooster. Or if you're making chips at home, the best potato in for chips is a Maris Piper.
All right, why?
There isn't as much starch in them.
Okay.
And they're probably closer to the potato you get in the chip or something like that. You know, okay. You get a nice chip there.
Yeah.
But that's it. Maris Piper is a lovely potato for chips. And the rooster is great for the garlic potatoes or a baked potato or anything like that, you know. And there we go. Then we have it all sliced up there now.
Use about three large potatoes.
That's enough for four or five people. And we have a little bit of garlic here that I pureed up already, as I showed you last day, how to skin it. And then we mash it all up like that. So you just mix that in with the potato in the bowl. Right. A little bit of parsley. And your cream.
You're very fond of the old cream.
Oh, I love cream. Love cream, you know. You know, everything is gravy in moderation. But you're looking. And a little bit of salt, you know.
Right.
You know. And there we go down. And then we just mix all that up then, fam. We just mix it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And that everything is coated in the cream and the garlic, that the flavour is going to all the potato. Right? And that's as simple as that is. And you have your little tray there then. And you're basically emptying it into your tray. Like so. Now, there you go.
For some reason, I thought you had to boil the potatoes before.
Not at all. Not with garlic potatoes. No. You bake that in the oven then. And they'll come out in like as if they were boiled.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we put them in there now.
And how long in the oven, Paddy?
They're going to take possibly 20 to 25 minutes. Right, that small tray like that. As I said, we've done a little tray earlier on so we can, because we're caught for time with the amount of time we have. But that's right, about 20 to 25 minutes into that.
Very good.
Then we're going to go with our beef. And our beef then is the simplest. It's a nice slice of beef that we have here. Right, that's a nice slice of sirloin. Okay, and then we get that and we have our cleaver here and we just bat it out like that.
Is that
just to tenderise?
That's just to spread it out. It'll cool quicker for you.
Okay.
And it'll stay tender.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And it won't be really tough, you know, when you're doing it. And then as we go again, another little bit of salt into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I like then to put in, and it's brilliant for going right through, a little bit of black pepper.
Oh, very good.
You know, and always throw the black pepper into your hand first rather than throw it over the dish. And the same with the salt, and then you can...
Well, you spread it out more.
You won't have an accident of a load of salt falling in.
That's okay.
So there you are with that. And it does happen.
Yeah.
You know? And then we have the normal stuffing that we made at Christmas. Remember we were talking about the stuffing in the pot?
Yeah.
We fried off our onions with our mixed herbs and butter, and we added our breadcrumbs to it. That's exactly what that stuffing is now, the same thing again.
Very good.
We get the stuffing, and, you know, a nice portion of stuffing into it, as you can see there now. Nice portion of stuffing. And you just roll it like it's a Swiss roll.
Okay.
No, so you just catch the end, and then you just roll it all up, and the whole lot comes together like that. So you have this beautiful piece of meat on all up like that, and all the stuffing is inside.
It
looks wonderful like that already. And then we just get a little bit of tinfoil then to wrap it in.
Yep.
And we pop this in the oven. Now this takes literally 15 minutes when it's battered out like that. As I say, if you're going to use the big piece of meat, as I said, the round steak, you'd want to be giving it about an hour and a half, maybe.
But that would do completely in 15 minutes, would it?
This will do in 15 minutes without any problem whatsoever. It's no... Like, it's battered out, it's nice and thin, it's stuffed and in the oven like that now, with the oven hotter, so you have to have your oven warm before it goes in, obviously.
Okay.
And then that'll cook in 15 minutes or so. Right? And it's a lovely piece of meat, a lovely and tender, you know? And then we have the garlic potatoes as well that I cooked earlier for that, you know? And that's how it goes, then, and we're going to make a nice little pepper sauce now for this as well. So we're going to make a nice, and we have our garlic potatoes in there, and our beef is in there. So now we're going to make a little bit of pepper sauce, right? So my pepper sauce is the same as I said to you before. I get that. Now, some people like onions, some people don't. If you don't want to put a little bit of onion in, don't put it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a great lover of myself in a sauce. So I like a little bit of black pepper.
Okay.
So we put in the black pepper, like so, into a nice pan there, nice and in a nice heat. And just let them pass around there for a little second. And then with that, then we're going to add in a little drop of cream into it. We have our cream here, yeah? So we're going to put some cream into that then. And that's going to reduce down for you then, Fran, right?
Okay.
And
so that's just black pepper
and cream. Just black pepper and cream at home. And you know what we do? We do a little bit of brandy into it as well.
Okay.
So we have the brandy pepper sauce, right?
Sounds good.
Why not while it's there in front of us? And I wasn't drinking it, folks.
We believe you, Paddy. We believe you.
You know? So we weren't drinking. So that's going to reduce down there then now. And as much as that, what will we do now while we're waiting for them to cook, Fran? We might, do you know what, we'll do a little stir fry as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do a little stir fry that you can serve with it. Just to...
So this is what you'd have with the beef?
This is what you have with the beef. You have the beef, you're going to have your garlic potatoes there. You can do your garlic potatoes, as I said, and you're going to have your pepper sauce there. Look, see the way the cream is there?
Yep.
That cream will start to thicken then with it, right?
Okay.
And we have the pan there now. And sure, look, we have some stir fry there. So we put a little bit of stir fry in that. You know, and it could be any vegetables you like now, Fran. It could be any vegetables you like. It could be mushrooms, it can be, you know, peppers, onions. And I have courgettes there, I have leeks, and I have peppers.
So and whatever just, is handy, basically.
Whatever is handy, look.
Yeah.
You know? And basically a little bit of veg like that.
That's just some oil in there with it.
A little drop of oil inside in it.
Okay.
Let it fry off like that. I like a little bit of tomato. If you put a few pieces of tomato in with it, it just gives it that lovely little colour, you know? So it does when it's cooking up. But I always put the tomato in last. No, because it'll do that.
I could never get over how easy it is, how easy it looks when you're doing it.
Yeah, it is. It can be, Fran, but I'm doing it for just ourselves
time.
For one. But when we're doing it for 25 or 30 people, yeah, it can get difficult. And as I say, everybody can cook, Fran.
Yeah.
Everybody. People tell me so many times that they can't cook. Yes, you can. You can cook at home and you can cook for a small number of people. You can't do what I'm doing or what all the other chefs are doing because we've been zoned into it or trained into it, you know? But yes, you can. Anybody can cook.
Right.
It isn't difficult.
Well, for instance, if you were doing a stir fry for a huge number of people now, how do you even approach that?
Well, then I'd have... the pans are there. I'd have the bigger pans. I'd put on three or four pans.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wouldn't stir fry for 20 people in one big pot or one big pan. I do three or four pans.
Yeah.
So it actually is a stir fry. It's not going to end up being boiled.
Yeah.
You know? So as you can see how quick that fries up there. Right. So that's the stir fry. You can add in a little bit of tomato. See how the cream is getting thick there?
It's got a great... It smells great too. Yeah.
Then we're adding in a little bit of our gravy because we have the peppers and all gone into that.
All right, this is ordinary gravy.
It's ordinary gravy again, as we said before, with the pepper sauce. It's ordinary gravy. So what we have in that is we put in the black pepper, we put in a little bit of cream, and we put in a small drop of brandy into it.
Okay.
Right? Brandy is optional. We just had it there, so we tossed it in.
So it's browning up now.
So she's browning up. See how good that's coming out. Lovely creamy sauce to go with it. The stir fry is there. A little bit of seasoning in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit of black pepper on it. Alright. And a little bit of salt. And as I always say, put a little bit of salt on your hand rather than just in case you have that accident. Alright, so there we have that there. So we're going to put in a little bit of tomato into that now.
Okay.
So I just need a little bit of tomato into that then. And that's going to give us our flavour. Now, if you liked a little bit of soy sauce in that, why not? Or a little bit of, you know, whatever else. But I would suggest to serve a separate end from the meal.
Okay.
That is not overpowering your pepper sauce or your garlic potatoes, you know? But there we are now. That's how quick and simple that is, Fran. Like, anyone can do this when they come in the evening from work.
Brilliant.
All right, it's there. So there's the stir fry ready. There's the pepper sauce ready. We go down here now. And what do we say, Fran? A nice
hot plate.
Hot plate, Fran. Very important. Right? So then that's our beef that we put in the oven. And we have our garlic potatoes. See how smashing they are, how good they are looking there now.
Well, they smell just nice, delicious.
They're delicious, and there's our beef. So we open up our beef then onto your chopping board.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Your chopping board. And you'll see now, Fran, what I'm talking about, how beautiful this is going to look when you take it out.
Wow.
Right? Fran, that's as good as fillet steak or anything else when it's cooked like that. And
that's completely cooked
now. That's completely cooked now. You're watching 15
minutes.
That was 15 minutes, Fran. Look at that.
Wow.
Right? And I said, we will put photographs of this up on Facebook for anyone to see on Tip FM. But just look at that.
Fantastic.
Look at the beauty.
Absolutely.
Right, and then we have our nice hot plate here then. Nice hot plate. We get our garlic potato on the side. And, you know, if you want to do the potato side this and you don't like garlic, leave the garlic out.
Mm.
You'll still end up with this beautiful, creamy and flavoured potatoes.
Which would be gorgeous anyway, yeah.
Which would be gorgeous anyway, just without the garlic.
Right.
So then we get our beef like that and we put that on the side. There we go there. As you can see. Now, I'm not going to put the pepper sauce over that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a little side dish
so
or a little
side.
Milking bucket as we have here.
Yep.
So people can see what the meat is and that is not. And there we go with that.
Yep.
And there's a little bucket of sauce. And then we have our stir fry there. And I said, if you add the soy sauce and all that, I would suggest to serve it separately. But as we have, we just done it with the black pepper, salt and pepper, nice flavour stir fry, nice tomatoes you can, and just a little bit on the side of the plate like that.
Oh, and the right smell, it just is.
Now that is good flavour, yeah, and it's lovely like that. So basically, there you are, Fran.
So just to sum that up again now, Paddy, what have we got?
We have the garlic potato.
Mm-hmm.
We did your slice your potatoes nice and thin, mix with some cream and some garlic, a little bit of salt and pepper, into your dish and in the oven. 20 minutes, 25 minutes at the tops for that. Then you get your beef and you bat it out a little bit. You fill it with your stuffing. As I said, the stuffing that we do, the stuffing in the pot, like all, we just mixed herbs, breadcrumbs, onions and butter. And then you roll it, wrap it in tin foil and into the oven. 15 minutes now, Fran. This was done. You can see yourself, this was done in real time.
Absolutely.
It's 15 minutes there onto your plate and slice it in like into your plate. It's like a little Swiss roll cake all the way along. And then your pepper sauce, as we said, your black peppers, a little bit of cream in it, and a small drop of brandy if you wish so. Let that reduce down a little bit as the cream starts to get thick. Then add in your normal gravy, your ordinary gravy, give it a toss in the pan, and there you go.
Excellent. And it looks beautiful, and it smells beautiful. Gorgeous as well. You're always saying to me that if people want to drop in and have a word with you about any of this, they're more than welcome.
They're more than welcome to call in, they're more than welcome to give a ring or anything else they want to do. I have no problem if anyone wants to know anything or find out anything or how things are done.
All right, Paddy, always a pleasure. Thanks very
much. Thank you very much, Fran.
That's Paddy Fahey there of Fahey's Bar and Restaurant on Ladies Well Street in Cashel. Now, we're just going to stick that dish up on our Facebook page there if you want to have a look at it. But certainly it smelt and it was just gorgeous on Friday night last. All right, let's take a break and then we're heading for the Mart.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Farmers right across Tipperary are being asked to donate calves and cattle for a charity auction in aid of Alzheimer's. The fundraiser is the brainchild of John O'Brien, who we have spoken to on the show before. John was, you might remember, behind the record-breaking all-female silage cutters event, which was held over the summer. John joins me now. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, friend, and thank you for having me on.
You're very well. You're always very welcome, John. Would you tell us about this particular plan and this latest fundraiser?
Well, it's a continuation of the grass carols that we had in Mellory, which was a success, big success. We got this brainwave with myself and Alison Hunt that we could have a charity auction of livestock. We would ask the people if they would like to donate an animal, which Alison the Hunt family has and myself has. To start with.
Mm-hmm.
And all the process of it would go to Alzheimer's again. The way it works is that there's a pile of us volunteers in this. If you wish to give a calf, a animal that you wish to give to the charity, there'll be someone of us volunteers will collect the animal if we don't want to bring him to Cashel Mart. And the animal will be put for sale approximately in 2 o'clock in Cashel Mart. And the process of it will all go to Alzheimer's. Now, the Matt, the Hunt family and the staff in Cashel Matt are all voluntary as well on the day. So whatever priced animal comes to, the whole 100% goes to the charity.
Right, and you're at pains to make that point, John, that everything, every single cent of this goes to Alzheimer's.
Oh, yes, I am very much there. Everything goes to Alzheimer's. Now, I've learned in the last couple of weeks that the money that we raised in Mellory, we raised over 14,000 that day. Half of that is in Clonmel. They used half of it to buy a bus in the daycare centre in Clonmel to put down a deposit. That's after arriving in Clonmel at the daycare there.
Very good.
And it is everything we do is all voluntary. And everything we raise, the whole lot goes to Alzheimer's.
Now, if people out there listening want to get involved in this and they might like to donate a calf or whatever, how can they go about that, John?
Well, realistic, my mobile number is on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Alison Hunt is on the website. Anyone of us will take a call.
Right, and of course, Alison is at Cashel Mart.
Yes, is at Cashel Mart. Also, that woman has a rugby shirt, which she has up on her website,
mm-hmm.
which she's taking bids for already. Now, that lady deals with the rugby shirt. We don't want to be crossing wires.
Okay, right. And isn't she donating a bullock called Archie
Yes. Archie, he's a bullock that's coming in from the Tipperary side.
Well, very good.
It's a mixture between Tip and Waterford, basically.
Right.
But it's held in the Tip side, the Cashel side.
Right. When is the auction?
The auction is the 10th of February, which is next Saturday,
okay.
at Cashel Mart at approximately 2 o'clock. There'll be sandwiches provided and soups and things as well by the Luby family on the day for the people who wishes to come, et cetera, et cetera. It's all voluntary.
Now, I know that it's an organisation that's close to your heart, the Alzheimer's Society, because your dad suffered from the disease, John, didn't he?
Well, my dad would have... He'd be dead now, not to mention the man, 2 years in July.
Yeah.
But you have to really, really know someone that have experienced it, what it takes. It, the whole thing, I know it is tough on the patient, but it's just as tough on the people that they have to help them or their relations. Their whole life is completely upscuttled.
Mm.
Now, there's we fought for 9 years.
Right.
Now, I've also learned that the older the patient is, the longer it's prolonged, the younger the patient, the shorter the time limit is. But the whole family, it actually destroys the family at the start, I could see, because in our situation, we were able to see it happening. Some of the family, when they'd come, the man was perfect. There was nothing wrong with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe 10 minutes after they leave, we were back to stage zero. But it is.
And the personality can change dramatically as well from the person that you might have known for all the years. And
well, now, hold up, the best way I could describe it now, basically, I have a grandchild now. I have two grandchildren now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every week she'd be with us, and she's learning. Now, I learned from my father as well.
Yeah.
I learned from him how to tie my shoelaces. In the finish, he didn't know left from right, the poor man.
My God.
Now, that I learned off of.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't know that. And I knew, even trying to explain to the man, tomorrow, he definitely wasn't going to know. But I know from explaining to the grandchild, she'll know it better tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I describe it.
It's heartbreaking, John. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
It is. Another thing I see about it is, we have learned as we're going across, as elderly people come out of the limelight, a lot of people thought that our situation, our father, had died because he was out of the equation for so long. But people are missed from going to, say, the creamery, mess, or to the local pub, or anything like that. If you're a younger person, they automatically think that you have immigrated. If you're an elderly person, they presume that you have moved on. So when the time came, a lot of people thought, our father had even died because he was out of the equation for so long.
And I wouldn't mind, John, but my own father had it, John, and he passed away this time last year. But they need people at that point. They need friends to come and visit, you know. Even if they don't know them, they need them to be there, don't they?
Well, I would agree with you 100%, but the reality is, me personally thinks that is the people, the family that's around them needs the help, because you could never say, oh, I'm going, say, to this function tonight. That's tonight. The whole thing could blow up and your assistance could be needed in the home place.
Yeah.
Now, my heart goes out to the people that completely cares for them, because they have some job, to tell you the truth.
They certainly have indeed. So listen, this is a great effort to get money together for a fantastic society, and that's Alzheimer's Society, who do tremendous work, John.
Yeah, but the amount of people out there that has supported us is serious. The Irish people are racing to a good cause. For instance, on last Wednesday, he said that he was going to interview me today on the radio.
Yeah.
And I was in Kilmart, and I pulled out the lorry, and I was backing in to get stock that I had purchased. That was no problem. And this fellow walks into the yard. I heard you were going to be on the radio about Alzheimer's. He said, keep up the good work. He said, I don't have an animal to give you, he said. I'm not in. Would you take a check? And I said, everything is much appreciated. He said, will you take €100? I said, no, much appreciated. Who will I make it out to? I said, make it out to the Alzheimer's Association. And there and then, a man just walked in. Now, he was related, closely related to the farming community, and handed us a check of €100. Only he announced it to me.
Fantastic.
I was going to be on the radio.
Well, listen, I'm just delighted we can be of some help to you anyway. Look, have a ball on that day, and we might even manage to cover that. I'd love to get over to that myself and do some
coverage. You would be welcome.
Yeah,
you would be welcome.
I'd love to do that, John, and we might have a chat on the day as well. But in the meantime, anyway, if people want to talk, can I give out your phone number? Would that be
all right? No problem. Everyone has it, including God.
Well, I hope he'll treat you well with it. Listen, this is 087-254-2556. Is that right, John?
Yes.
087-254-2556, if you want.
No, no,
to.
No.
Oh, 087-254-2556.
Okay.
96. Ah, right. 96. Okay. So let me give that out properly then. 087-254-2556 if you want to talk to John. All right, John, listen, a pleasure. Have a great day, and I hope you make lots of money for Alzheimer's.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Gino. That's John O'Brien speaking to me there. All right, it's 11:31. Let's take a break, and then we will find the results to another amazing fundraiser that happened over the last few days, with the most amazing result. Back in a second.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Bernie Walsh. And you might remember Bernie, who spoke to us last week about the mock wedding fundraiser for Irish motor neuron disease that happened at the Fir Grove in Mitchelstown on Saturday night last. And I believe it was amazing, Bernie, was it?
Unbelievable. The turnout, friend, was just... You'd have to be there to see it. I think the whole country are talking about it.
Everybody's talking about this. One of the main reasons that they're talking about it is the amount of money raised. How much money?
125,000.
125,000 euro?
Yes, 125,000 euros. Not a bad evening's work, is it?
That is absolutely incredible altogether. How did that work? How much was made on the night? And then you had another sort of dimension to the fundraising, didn't you?
I did. I had little fairies working in the background, basically. I have two brothers and a sister in the UK, so they were doing a little bit of fundraising behind scenes for me.
Mm.
So they came along on Saturday evening and said to me, Bernie, we did a collection for you. So they had, we'll say, hundreds of euros from people, thousands. There was some of the people, there was a company called UK in Ireland, they gave him 5,000. Another guy, Thomas Gallagher, he gave him 5,000. Kelly Communications, they gave him 10,000. Another guy, PF Cusack, 10,000. And there was all the smaller, not smaller, huge donations too, of 1,000 euros, 2,000. It was unbelievable.
It's incredible. The night itself made, what, about 80 grand, was
about
it?
About 80,000, yes, roughly. Right. I must finish my paperwork now. But my brothers then from O'Connor Utilities came along and said, right, Bernie, whatever you've made, we'll top it off to 125,000.
Wow.
Yeah, so they'll be giving us around 40,000, roughly, in or around that.
It's absolutely incredible. Now, this makes this one of the most successful fundraisers ever?
Ever in the country. I spoke to Maeve in Motor Neurons this morning, and she told me it's the biggest fundraiser yet in the country for Motor Neurons.
Isn't that incredible? Now, of course, one of the reasons why you're so interested in this, in the fundraising for Motor Neuron, is that your mum passed away.
My mum passed away in Motor Neurons. She did 13 years ago.
So you know full well what that means and what that disease means.
Oh, yes, 100%. And they need the money up there because it'll help so many families.
Mm.
And we'll actually give so much money to research as well.
Right.
Because we need a cure or something to make people, we'll say, a little easier. Life will be easier for them, maybe.
I was going to ask you about that, how the money will be spent. Some of it on research.
Some on research.
And?
And the rest, motor neurons then. So that'll go and help families throughout the country.
Right.
You know, motor neurons supply so much equipment. And we'll say nurses and that. So whatever way they know how to
right.
organise
and
that.
Will it involve some respite for families? Because, you know, carers have a very difficult time.
Oh, they have, yeah. Well, motor neurons do an awful lot with that.
Yes.
So I know when Mam was sick and when she came home, we had a nurse in the house every night.
Right.
And that was through, we'll say, motor neurons organised all that for us.
Now, for anybody who didn't hear the piece last week, your dad was the groom.
My dad was the groom. He was the groom. 90 years young in March. So,
and what did he make of it? Did he enjoy it?
He enjoyed every minute. He left the hotel about 3 o'clock in the morning. So he was it was unbelievable. And not camera shy either, I must say. Not camera shy. And spoke very well. He's just a natural.
Oh, isn't that fantastic? And of course, Eileen Boland was the beautiful bride, the blushing bride.
Yes, absolutely beautiful. And do you know what? Great fun.
Great fun.
The fun on the night was unbelievable. We had our series chats. Jonathan gave a lovely speech, and so did Pat O'Connor in Cashel, and Joan Boland gave a little speech as well. So between them all, but after that, It was all fun.
It was all fun all the fun. Whole way. All right. And you were well looked after in the hotel by my good friends and pals.
Oh, they're unbelievable. And I have to say, Hazel, you're amazing.
Tell me about, there's photographs available, isn't there?
There is photographs. Hilda will actually have them up on Facebook later. Right. She's actually working on it at the moment. So she'll have them on her Facebook page.
Very good.
Hilda McMahon, photographer. From Ballyporeen.
Yeah, so. A tremendous photographer as well.
Unbelievable.
So all that will be available for people
all
to see.
All that will be available. Also, it's on February the 14th on Nationwide.
Oh, very
so
good.
You can catch up and watch it that night.
So the cameras were there.
The cameras were there. They were there for the wedding and before the wedding. So they did a lot of work.
Very good. And was Mary Kennedy there as well?
No, Anne.
Oh, Anne. Anne's a lovely lady.
Oh, she's a lovely lady, and Susie.
All right. Well, listen, well done to everybody involved. We're very proud of you all, Bernie. It's a fantastic result. And do you plan to do more fundraising? How could you possibly top that now?
At the moment, I'll have to take it easy. I think my body needs a break now. But you'd never know. People were asking me on the night, Bernie, you might help me out, do this and that. So we'll see. My two kids are gone to college now. So I have a little bit more time.
All right. You want to be careful saying that, you know, because you'll end up being a professional fundraiser.
I must say now, without my husband, Willie, he was unbelievable.
Was he?
He was like my backbone and helped me along all the way.
All right. Well, listen, well done to you again, Bernie. Lovely to see you today. Yes.
Can we just thank the priest, Declan? He was unbelievable.
Was he the postman?
He was the postman.
He's the local postman.
Oh, he's the local postman. Yeah. He had a little show after. He was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He made the night.
Very good. So if people want to look, it will be on Nationwide.
It will be on Nationwide, right. 100%.
Very good. All right. Well done to you, Bernie. Thanks.
Lovely.
Thanks
very much
indeed.
Thanks.
It's 11:40 right now. We're back with more Tip Today in a moment.
If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call Tip Today on 1-800-938-007.
And welcome back to Tip Today. One of our more cynical callers wondering if they would have made even more money if it was a divorce party. I know, don't be like that. Another listener wants to know if anybody out there thinks that old age pensioners should pay local property tax. So there you go. Okay, I'm not sure where that came in out of the blue because we weren't discussing it. But listener wants to know if other listeners think that OAPs should pay local property tax. What do you think about that on 083-311-3311? All over the papers today as well, the Gardaí are probing whether one of the parents of baby John fled Kerry and is living in the north. Now, the detectives are going to extend their DNA hunt for clues to the UK's DNA database, with particular focus on Northern Ireland. The movement of a number of people between Kerry and Northern Ireland in 83-84 has prompted the Gardaí to examine the UK's DNA database for clues as to the identity of the parents of baby John, who was found stabbed to death, of course, on a beach in Carrizavine in April of 1984. The dramatic move is being considered given that Ireland has only 15,000 DNA samples on its database in comparison to about 6 million in the UK. But cross-references of the Irish database have so far failed to yield any matches to the sample taken from the baby. And for those of us of a certain age, it drags us back to the controversy of the time, which was absolutely incredible. On a much lighter note, just over 3 years ago, Sligo-born radio presenter and playwright Tommy Marin wrote an Irish comedy play entitled It's the Real McCoy. Now, the play became an absolutely huge success and it toured Ireland and the UK and indeed the States as well, notched up almost 300 shows in the process. Well, Tommy is now back on the circuit again with another rip-roaring play entitled Nobody's Talking to Me. And it has already received some rave reviews. The play has been touring Ireland for just over 2 years and it makes its visit to our region this weekend, to Brew Brew in Cash. And Tommy joins me now. Good morning to you, Tommy.
Good morning, Fran. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome indeed. And congratulations on all of the success. Now, I only heard the trailer to this on the ad. It sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it is. We were in Brew Brew with this actually about 18 months ago, but the response to it around the country has been quite amazing, so much so that we're on the tail end now of our last tour with the play. Yeah, it is. It's set in rural Ireland. It's what I like to write about, rural Ireland in the 60s, the home of Matty and Maggie Conway. Very simple story, you would think. A funny story about a couple who are 50 years married on that day. And it's their 50th anniversary, so there's great celebrations, one would think, planned. But sadly, they haven't spoken to each other for 10 years. The parish priest has announced it from the pulpit that they're celebrating their 50th anniversary. He calls to renew their wedding vows, not knowing that there's been trouble in the house for many, many years. And then all hell breaks loose. So it sounds like an incredible story, but it's amazing the number of people who will say that back in Ireland in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and even to today, there are couples who, believe it or not, live under the same roof, who may not have communicated a single syllable with each other for a long period of time. And people come out after the show and say, you know, it was a great show, it was funny, but you know something, my grandfather didn't speak to my grandmother for 9 years, and she used to put the boiled egg down for his breakfast every morning. She knew what kind of an egg he liked, but they never said a single word to each other. So even though it's hilarious and it's funny and it's almost incredible, it actually hits a bone with some people.
I can't imagine that it does, because I would have known at least two incidences myself where people didn't talk to one another, in one case for 20 years, Tommy, can you believe?
And I would believe it. And, you know, people think, well, how could you live in a situation where you are under the same roof as somebody that you simply do not talk to? Mm. But I spoke to one person who spoke to his grandfather, who hadn't spoken to his grandmother, his wife, his grandfather's wife, for 9 years. And he said to him, he says, why do you live in the same house? Mm. And he says, well, it's peaceful in one sense, because he said, you know, we just know we don't get on, but we get on with it. So it was a kind of a very interesting way of doing it.
Isn't it interesting? It was sort of an Irish solution to marriage breakup in some ways. You know,
it was. And it proved one thing, I suppose, the older generation in particular, it probably wouldn't happen anymore, because if people didn't get on, they'd just move out. Mm. But in older Ireland, where people took their vows extremely seriously,
absolutely,
you know, it wasn't the case of moving out. There was no place to move to, and you just stayed, and you just smoked it all out and just got
but
on with
the
it.
Loneliness and the isolation, I mean, I don't want to take from the fact that there's a load of comedy in this, but the loneliness and the isolation of that must have been incredible, you know.
It must have been, and how they navigated around the house in such a way that they weren't bumping into each other, because in days gone by, the houses were a heck of a sight smaller than they are today.
Yeah.
So how they actually navigated life around not bumping into one another, or, you know, even in one case where a couple who had no family, you know, they literally lived on their own 24/7. I don't know how they were able to do it, but they did.
Incredible. Now, of course, there was humour.
Well, there was humour, although I don't know exactly how much they thought it was humour themselves. Certainly in this instance, we've turned what can be a very serious situation into a very comical one, insofar as well as this couple who haven't spoken for 10 years living in this house, they live with their only daughter and also with the husband's sister, who happens to be a fairly raging alcoholic and a bit eccentric, to say the least. So they become the conduit of the story. The priest arrives to do the wedding renewal of the vows, and thankfully both the couples are out. But anyway, then a big surprise party is arranged to see if they can find a solution to the problem. And throughout the entire party, they still can't get the couple to talk. All I can say is it does have a happy ending. And what is extremely unusual, Fran, about this play is that for the opening 9 minutes of the play and for the opening 12 minutes of the second half, not one single word is spoken on stage, and yet you hear the audience in convulsions of laughter. So there is more to comedy than just the written word, believe me.
I know that everybody's screaming at the radio now. Will you ask him, will the silence be broken or what? But you say there's a happy ending, so we can take what we will from that, I suppose.
Yeah, take what you will, but suffice to say that at no stage during the course of the play do they ever actually speak a word, but there is a happy ending.
Isn't it incredible? I have to ask you, I mean, are you going to stay writing? Have you something else prepared?
Well, you know, there's a few things planned. Nothing major at the moment. We just do this weekend in Cashel, and then we have one weekend left in Castleblaney in Monaghan, and then Nobody's Talking to Me is put to bed. I'm delighted to say there's lots of amateur groups, including in your own area, Fran, doing Nobody's Talking to Me for their shows this year, which we're delighted about. It's the Real McCoy, of course, has been a huge success. So I don't know. Certainly, I'll be coming back with something of a comedy nature, hopefully early 2019.
Very good indeed, because people have stopped writing in the style of John B, I suppose, and that's, you know, those Irish days of the 50s and the 40s and indeed the 60s in your own case. And it's a pity because there's so much material there. You know?
There is, because you see, it was before social media and it was before telephones and it was before electricity. So the only form of entertainment that people had in rural Ireland was conversation. And so they came up and they met and they had their ceilidhs and they had their dances and they had their gatherings in the houses just for no particular reason, playing cards or playing whatever it was they'd play, and they would talk. And, you know, there is nothing better than the spoken word. And I often think when young people at the age of, say, 18, 19, 20 come to see this play, you know, they have to switch their mobile phone off for 2 hours, which is a huge ask. It's almost like asking for an amputation. But they come out afterwards and they say, you know, that was just amazing. I didn't miss my mobile phone. I got engulfed in the story. And if only parents and guardians of younger people could get into the habit of just, if it's only for 1 hour a week, of saying, look, this is phones off hour, let's just talk. It's amazing what young people, once they actually get used to the whole idea of having to discuss or converse in a situation, find it intriguing. And I think when young people come to see this show, they come away thinking, you know something, that was the best 2 hours I had all week.
Well, super. Well, if you want to get along to the show, it's next Friday and Saturday, the 9th and the 10th at 8 o'clock in lovely Brew Brew. If you want to book tickets for that, it's 062-611-22. But I'm sure there will be a huge interest in it. Tommy, you'll get a great welcome to Tipperary.
Yeah, we've always had a great time. It's a lovely theatre, and Ronan and the staff look after us so well, and we always sell out there. So hopefully we'll do that this weekend again. And I just would say to people, you know, forget about your walls for 2 hours. Come to us on Friday night or Saturday night, and we promise you, you'll leave with a smile on your face.
All right. Listen, it's always a pleasure, Tommy. Look after yourself, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye to you now. That is playwright Tommy Marin there. Coming to Brew Brew with Nobody's Talking to Me next Friday and Saturday. And again, that number is 062-611-22 if you want to book some tickets for that. Now, a group of residents from Terryglass are protesting outside the council offices this morning in relation to road conditions in the area, in particular on Roran Road. And we spoke about this last week as well. Now, they held a protest last week and they've said they're ramping up efforts to ensure the situation is resolved. And Bridie joins me now from Terryglass. Good morning to you, Bridie.
Good morning, Fran. Nice to talk to you.
It's lovely to talk to you again, Bridie. Now, you're unable to attend today's protest in Nina, but you're fully behind this campaign, Bridie.
Oh, I'm 110%, and I was unable to attend it last week. It's because of health issues.
Yes, of course, yeah.
I was having physio, and I'm having physio, and I'm attending a doctor. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Right, but
I use that rose occasionally, and apart from that, I would have utter, total, and complete sympathy with the people that have to use it on a daily basis. And the potholes are, in my opinion, not potholes. They're craters. And if you have to take your child to school, if you have to go for some other reason, it's an absolute scandalous. And I would like to ask the local authorities, the council, and etc., as to when we pay our car tax, and there's two car, there's taxes going out of this house for two cars.
Mm.
And there'd be more from other cars. And I was told when I protested some time ago, not through your station, but in general, the bulk of the money, it goes to Dublin, and then it's Dublin has to say as to what they'll give then to the country.
The car tax probably goes into central coffers, and then, it could be used on anything then, everything from Irish Water to the health service or whatever.
It's not fair.
Mm.
And I've spoken with Michael O'Mara and Ali Kelly, and I hope they don't mind me. Michael O'Mara's got back to me, and Kelly hasn't in the last couple of weeks. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Mm. They have an.
What is Michael O'Mara saying to you about this?
I didn't speak with him other than I got his text. He wasn't available because he was busy.
Right, okay.
But he would be totally in favour of the fact that it isn't good enough that, given that so many people, they pay their taxes and they do everything and anything, and there is fundraising, and that some of the local roads, the small roads, now I know they're flawed, and that's a different problem.
Mm. But again, it's another problem that could be solved if we went back to the situation of putting men out there with shovels, to fix the drains and stuff.
When I was a younger person, I'm 70 now and I don't mind saying so, but there were men on the road,
yeah.
And there was a local person and he used his horse and cart and they filled the road, the potholes in the road many years ago when money was scarcer, and they also dug channels and they let water in wherever it was necessary into people's fields, etc., etc. Mm. And the roads were, as such, in an awful lot better condition.
Absolutely.
But then there wasn't the traffic plan. There wasn't the traffic that there is now. We wouldn't have had a car, and a lot of people didn't have a car, and if they did, maybe a household would have one car.
Did you ever see a situation over the years, though, Bridie, where people needed to get up, get out, and protest just to have their roads looked after?
I also have a situation, even here where I live, that I couldn't go to Mass in either of the local villages without taking a detour because the road was flooded. And that's going back now a good few years.
Right.
Now, we are very near Lough Derg, and then there's the Ballyfinboy River, which floods, and it floods all the fields next to it.
All right, but the road only flooded in the last couple of years.
It flooded a good many years ago.
Right.
It may only have been highlighted in the last number of years.
Do you think if men were put out there to clear the, or women or whoever, to clear the drains and the shores and all of that, it mightn't happen? Is that what you're saying to me?
Fran, to tell you the honest to God's truth, I don't think that it's the solution.
Yeah.
They have diggers now that do the work that the ordinary men folk used to do. But I think that the level of the Shannon has risen.
Right.
Now, I can be contradicted on that, but I was born and reared on an island, and I know that the level of the Shannon has risen considerably in that number of years.
It's interesting.
It has risen in an island that is a massive couple of 800 acres, it has also risen.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bridie, it's an interesting discussion and it's something that we will get back to again, but sadly I'm just about out of time right now. Thank you for your contribution, Bridie. That's it from me. Alison, produced Owen, is on the way and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Look after yourselves, won't you? Bye-bye.